Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be bright.
Everyone, this is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email me at bonkaye at AOL.com in case you're feeling a little radio shy. That's absolutely fine. Before I introduce my special guest for tonight, I would like to make several announcements. First of all, I know a number of you have been writing to me about my newsletter, and it is running a little late. It's now switching over to the first of the month. And so I just want to make you aware of that. Also, when you get the newsletter in the next week, on the 1st of November, you know, I'll be putting in a link to this show so that if you're not listening at the moment, you can continue listening. Also, I'm very excited because I'm in the process of planning for my next healing weekend. And I was so inspired by the past one in Philadelphia with a couple of the women who were from the Virginia area. We had three women from there. That I said, I must go to Virginia next. This is a calling, so I'm going. So this will be probably the second weekend in April. I'm getting all the details made and the reservations with the hotel. But I'm just giving you a heads up. It'll be in the newsletter that this is, you know, where we're going and when. So if you would like to join this experience that nobody walks away from the same way they come in, it's the most powerful experience that you'll have going through your healing period of meeting other women from around the country and the world who are understanding every word you say before you even get in there and having that camaraderie and sistership then it's really wonderful if you can come to this. So I'll be sending more details out to you. I'd like to introduce my special guest for tonight, who unfortunately, because of all the technical difficulties I was having last week, this wonderful woman was scheduled, Tara Helscott, and we missed her last week because Blog Talk Radio had a technical problem. But I did promise you I was going to get her back on this show. And so tonight she's here. And Tara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bonnie. Glad that we were able to get the technical difficulties straightened out. So.
Me too. I was such a wreck last week, and I know you were too. But I'm so excited you came on the show, because when you first contacted me a few months ago and you said you had written a book, and I thought, well, here's another book coming along. And, you know, I have a lot of authors who write books. And some of them are really good. Some of them are really not that relevant. But I said, all right, I'm happy to take a look at it, because you told me it's called Looking for Mr. Straight. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting title. Yeah, send me a copy, Tara. I'd be happy to read it. And one of the things that impressed me so much about this book is that it's hard for me to really learn too much on this subject, because after doing this for 32 years and working with over 100,000 women and several thousand men who are gay and helping them in their issues of coming out to their wives, you think you've heard it all and seen it all. This book was a really new, fresh perspective for me of things that I thought, this is perfect for young women, younger women, because a lot of the members of our group, you know, are older. We've been in marriages 20, 30, 40 years. But for younger women, there's a number of the Women in Mind Support Network who are in their 20s and 30s, who are just getting married or have been married for a couple of years and something's wrong. And they can't pinpoint it. And I thought your book is just so amazing, because not only is it your story, but you have stories interwound in here from other people, men who came out, who were passing as straight. You have in every chapter what you call a G quiz, meaning a gay quiz, if you really sense the right thing. And you also have G tips, you know, tips about gay men. So that in itself, this is like really a great handbook to read. It's fun to read, too. I mean, even if you're past this point of, you know, dating now, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned in this for me. And especially because women that I work with so much tell me that, well, things are different now. Back then when I was younger, you know, men had to hide. Now they're all out there and open. But after reading your book, that's really not the case at all, right?
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, this issue is still going on today. And you would think, you know, given that, you know, you've been dealing with this for, you know, for 32 years, and given that things have changed over, you know, the past 30 years, you would think that this wouldn't be a problem any longer, but it is. Yes, of course, there are so many more people who are able to come out, and that is so great. But you would have thought that, especially like in Manhattan where I live, that it wouldn't be as much of an issue, and that you know, people would feel comfortable coming out. But the thing that people don't realize, you know, because I come across, you know, a number of people, you know, and I tell them that I wrote this book, and they're like, this is still an issue? I didn't realize this was an issue. And, you know, it's interesting because I don't think that I'm the only one that encounters it. I just might be one of, you know, a person that happens to be, you know, maybe just a little more perceptive or intuitive to that the fact that this is going on. But I think the reason that this still is a problem is that, you know, people aren't able to come out for many reasons. You know, it's not just what society is thinking. So the fact that, you know, it's more acceptable today, the fact that the Supreme Court has passed this, you know, law that, you know, people can get married and it's legal, that's all well and good. But unfortunately, people don't come out because if their family's not accepting, if they're from a religious background, or even if they themselves don't fully accept it or, you know, really want to be in touch with it, they are still going to remain in the closet. So, yes, it is still impacting a lot of people today, whether they realize it or not.
And that's what I keep saying, because people say to me, you mean to tell me now that gay marriage is legal? Why would they marry you if they can marry somebody of the same sex? I said it's totally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. This is about people who don't want to be gay. They are
right.
gay. They're trying to find a way not to be gay. And often marriage is the key to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say. Often, you know, marriage seems like the easy way out for people. And
yeah,
they think
I mean,
that,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was thinking that, you know, when you're in your 20s, and could you tell people how old you are?
I am 37. No, totally fine. Yeah, I am 37. So, yeah,
okay.
I've been... Okay,
you've had a lot
yeah.
of experience with the dating world.
Yeah. Yep.
And the thing is that you'll know that if you've dated, you know, frequently or often or, you know, more than certainly I had at that time, that, you know, because back then the main goal was getting married 30 years ago, 35 years ago. Now people are smarter and they wait longer. But back then it wasn't unusual to get married, and I totally didn't understand sexuality because I grew up as a child of the 60s and 70s when times were really wild. Maybe you've seen some documentaries
mm-hmm.
on that. You know, everything was, you know, love, sex, and rock and roll. And I was in
right.
California in my teens when anything went and everything went. I mean, people would be having
yeah.
orgies. They'd be having, you know, trying it, not liking it. And that was in my mindset. That if somebody
mm-hmm.
tried a gay action and they didn't want to do it anymore, they wanted to marry you, then they weren't gay. Because we
right.
didn't have any understanding of, you know, what the problem really was. And plus back then, you had somebody like Dr. Kinsey telling us that 87% of all men have some kind of male sexual encounter sometime in their adolescence, that it's, quote, normal, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
even if we thought that they had done something, we would think, well, they want to marry me. Therefore, they're straight. Any of those gay things are in their past. We didn't understand
right.
it, and that's why so many of our women got tied into that. And guess what? I still have a lot of people your age and younger who come to me with the same issue. They can't understand it. So how are you so perceptive in understanding this? What started you on the road to catching this and understanding it?
Yeah, that's a good question because I sometimes think of my perception as either a blessing or a curse. I'm hoping that it's more, at this point, a blessing because it's allowed me to kind of not waste my time, you know, with the wrong men. But when I think back to when this all began, it was actually, I would say now it's more than 10 years ago because I actually, you know, have been working on my book for probably about 10 years, just gathering stories and, you know, dating. So probably when I was about 23, 24, you know, I was dating in New York, you know, like so many women. And, you know, you're right. It was at this point in time, I wasn't really looking to, you know, settle down and get married, but I was looking to kind of figure out what I was looking for, find the right person. And I thought, you know, obviously, it wasn't going to be easy to find Mr. Right, you know, in terms of, you know, someone who was, you know, good-looking and intelligent, et cetera. But I figured I, you know, would date and hopefully he would, you know, come along and I would kind of figure out, you know, find my match. And I started going on dates with a number of different men. And I started noticing that something wasn't quite right. And It almost went beyond, you know, there's obviously weird guys and, you know, you have your horror dating stories and things that we all kind of share as women, talk about them. But it almost felt like, you know, the types of things that were happening, whether it was comments that they were saying, things they were doing, or, you know, especially when it came to sexually, that went beyond just, you know, he's a weird guy. And I did have the blessing of, you know, my close friend of mine is actually, she's gay and out. She came out when she was 19. And so, you know, we would always, I would come home from my dates and I would share my stories and things definitely going on here. And I think just with her insight and the fact that whether I knew about the whole gay thing, because I definitely never really thought about sexuality in that way, not that I, you know, wasn't, you know, I just knew for myself, okay, I'm straight and, you know, other people are gay and that was, you know, that was fine. I was always a very perceptive person though. Like I definitely would kind of watch people and just, you know, take things in. And so I think the combination of that and then the insights of her, we started saying, you know, maybe these guys are struggling with their sexuality. And so after, you know, talking about it, somehow we came up with, you know, maybe I should write this down and write a book about it. And I think it was a combination of the fact that I am a writer in a different genre. I work in advertising, actually, in pharmaceuticals. But, you know, for me, writing was always kind of just a cathartic way of kind of getting my emotions out. And so I think that that just helped me, you know, tap into my insights and my perceptions, and kind of as I went through this whole process, really kind of gain this radar, as you would call it, and kind of figure out, you know, who, you know, these guys were that I was going out with, and that this was definitely a phenomenon that I never would have guessed I would have encountered in my dating. So
let me
make a long story
ask you
short.
A question about that, Tara, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Sure. I often wonder, do you feel there's a prototype of a woman that gay men look for? Because I have a chapter in my book, The Gay Husband Checklist, about that, mm-hmm. that there are definitely women who they target in, consciously or subconsciously, and not with ill intent. Because I really do believe a lot of these men want to be straight and they can't come to terms with who they are. But is there a reason why you've had such an assortment of men who are gay coming towards? I mean, I did too, because I'm a kind and
yeah.
nurturing person and accepting and open-minded and liberal. You know, these are all signs we're in the helping profession, most of us, and that I think they tend to gravitate to us. Or, you know, if you've seen Tara's picture on Facebook or, you know, on the sites that I've sent out, then you see that she's a beautiful woman. She's like a trophy kind of girl, woman, sorry, that, you know, people would be very proud to see. And, you know, she just is very beautiful. So a lot of gay men seem to be attracted to that.
Mm.
So maybe it's in hopes that, you know, something that they can have somebody as a front or a cover that looks good.
Right.
For whatever reason, but did you feel there was a reason why you were attracting so many gay men?
You know, I don't know if I was really attracting so many gay men, or the fact that I actually was aware of the fact that they were gay. What I've actually encountered, and when I've spoken with other girlfriends and, you know, people that I do know, whether they dated men or some, I do have some friends that, you know, whether they have long-term relationships or kind of, they're not fully in touch with the fact that they may be dating men that are gay. I don't know if it's, and that's the reason that I actually wanted to write my book. I feel that maybe women feel there's something not quite right, but they don't know exactly what it is, and they hope that even if they have this inkling or they think, oh, maybe he's gay, they're like, well, why would he be gay? He's with me. And I think that's the same thing you said. You know, oh, well, he's marrying me, or he's with me, or he's dating me. I think for me, it ended up being the blessing was that I didn't end up staying with these men. So for me,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of out there talking about, so this prototype, I almost feel the prototype is more of women who maybe aren't fully in touch with it. So maybe they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are actually a lot of women who are dating and are ending up in relationships and getting married to men. They just don't actually realize that they're gay. So for me, I'm kind of out there being like, I've dated these men, but I really didn't end up in any kind of significant relationship with them. And the reason being was that either I kind of figured it out or they almost sensed from me. I almost feel like as soon as I said something or did something or there was some intuition, you know, they kind of went in the opposite direction. Maybe they sensed that I knew something or I was going to kind of find them out. Whereas with other women who weren't maybe fully in touch or wanting to admit that, you know, they continue to be with that man. So in terms of a prototype, the ones that actually end up with gay men, I think maybe are ones that aren't fully in touch with themselves. And maybe, and this isn't like, I mean this obviously in the best of ways. I'm not trying to kind of pinpoint women and say, you don't know what you're doing. I think it's more just in today's society, you know, as women, it's difficult out there in the dating scene. And so when you meet someone and you're, oh, this is this great guy and on paper and everything seems great, even if you might think something might not be completely right, you may kind of, in a sense, almost it's almost push it under the rug. So in your mind, you kind of are in the closet as well, because you're not trying, you don't want to, you know, be in touch with that, and you don't want to kind of go back out into the dating scene. So I think, you know, that's the kind of prototype I would, you know, put out there. But for me, yeah, that's not, it's an interesting question, because it's not something that I've really fully thought about, so.
That's okay. I'll give you something for your next book.
So, yes, exactly.
When you interview the women that gay men have been attracted to find out what it was about them. But
right.
You make some really wonderful points in here that I'd like for you to talk a little bit about, and things that really made me think, if I was being honest with everything, even though I really did not understand gay when I got married. But I did, and I think the point you're bringing out, that a lot of these guys don't talk straight. They talk gay, and I don't mean by their inflections or their mannerisms, but straight men don't have these kind of conversations with you. And a lot of times we are just so impressed by the fact that they have the same emotions, the same interests, the same, that we think, boy, this must be a perfect guy. But you're saying not necessarily, right?
Right. So when I talk about that, you know, it's funny, I'll share this one quick story, and I think I did have this in my book. Way back when I was in college, and I was not fully aware, fully in touch with, you know, my gaydar, I actually, you know, started talking to this guy, and, you know, he was listening to me, and, you know, he was caring, and, you know, we were talking for 3 or 4 hours, and I think one of my friends came up to me afterwards, because I was so excited, and said, you know he's gay, right? And I said, no. And I was so flabbergasted. And the reason I bring this story up is that as women, when we go out and we meet these guys who are, you know, can sit and talk with us for hours, and they have all the same interests and all the same, you know, things that they want to watch on TV, and we get so excited because we're like, we think that we found the perfect man. And when in fact we've found kind of just another girlfriend. And I want to be clear on this, because When I talk about this, you know, when we think of finding our perfect partner, our ideal partner, a man and a woman, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have things in common with this person. You know, you should want to have some of the similar interests. If you want to go to the, you know, go to the gym together, or, you know, you like traveling, or, you know, you have similar things to talk about. That's not what I'm saying. What I mean is that when you're kind of with this person, you can go gab and talk for hours, and it kind of feels like it's one of your girlfriends. And that kind of feeling is where there should definitely be a red flag, because the guy that you end up with should not be one of your girlfriends. There definitely should be that difference. He should be your, you know, your soulmate, your connection that you have if you believe in soulmates, but this, you know, ideal partner that you have that connection with. But it shouldn't feel like just another girlfriend. Yeah.
One of the worst problems that women tell me, one of the things they suffer the most with when these marriages end, so often I hear this line, I'm losing my best friend. And that's the point. I always tell women, how can he be your best friend when he's hidden from you who he is? About 20% of the women in my network have sexually transmitted diseases from their best friends, or they, you know, have a life of misery afterwards, fighting in, you know, for child support, for getting, you know, what they're entitled to from their best friends who's been lying and cheating on them. You know,
right.
I say you have to have a different perspective. They weren't your best friend if they were going behind your back and lying to you about who they were.
Right.
You know, even though you had a lot in common with them, it doesn't make them your best friend, right?
Yeah, and I think that's just, you know, as, you know, it's really unfortunate that even today that there are so many people who are struggling with their sexuality and don't feel that they can truly be who they want to be, they can live the lives they want to, and they feel they have to hide that from everyone else. But I think what ends up happening is, you know, these men kind of say, you know what, either they're aware and they say, I can't come out, or they've pushed these feelings down so deep that they're not even fully in touch with it. And so in order to kind of, you know, keep this facade going, and they want to live this, you know, life of marriage and kids and have that, you know, traditional and, quote, normal, as they look at it, lifestyle, they feel, okay, I'm going to find a woman who even is in fact to them their best friend, someone that they have common interests with, that they get along with. And so that's how they're looking at it. Obviously, the most important factor is, you know, they're not straight, and so they're, you know, don't want to be that same sexual with them, and, you know, it's definitely not the same. But it ends up feeling to the woman like it's your best friend because they have that common connection and that bond that they've established, even though there's definitely been a lot of lies in between.
Well, I do tell the women, these men, when they say, but, you know, my husband loves me, and I say, he does love you, but he doesn't love you like a wife. He loves you like a sister or a cousin or a best friend, but that's not what a wife is supposed to be. You need that intimacy in your relationship and the honesty and communication.
Right.
But once again, it's hard when somebody's suffering. I don't like to kick them while they're down, but I try to get them up and kick them a little more into reality.
Yeah.
You know, but when they're down, I say, okay, I feel bad too. But at times, you know, time will heal things, you know, and try to get them to the point where they can start seeing things objectively.
Mm-hmm.
But when your whole life is kind of shattered after 20, 25 years with someone who you thought was somebody who they're not, and then you end up with a sexually transmitted disease sometimes that, you know, will scar you for life. And
that's amazing. It's heartbreaking to hear that. You know, heard so many stories from women over the years, and, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's really why I reached out to you after reading your book, and the fact that, you know, you yourself had, you know, been in a marriage and, you know, later found out that your husband was gay and then decided to counsel so many women. And the reason I wrote my book is I really don't want women to get to that point. I want to see if I can kind of guide women and even just to bring awareness that this is a possibility.
Your book is a warning book, a warning and telling women, look, this is what's going on. Let me ask you this question, Tara. One of the things that gay men do, you know, who are married, they start to sexually strip down their women by not having sex with them and then throwing it back on the women like you're a nymphomaniac. You know, all you think about is sex. Or the big line they use is, you look at other couples, by the time they're, you know, 20 years into a marriage, they're not having sex. Of course, they weren't having sex for the first 18, you know, for the second 18 years of that marriage, after the first 2 years. But, you know, and then women say, but I look at other couples and I figure that must be true. But I say that's totally untrue. That sex is such an important part of a relationship that it builds the intimacy within a couple. And I just think a lot of women come from religious backgrounds or they're unaware or they buy into the stories these guys are telling them. Do you find that with gay men?
Yes. I actually, you know, one of the chapters in my book, which I think is probably one of the most important chapters, is called In the Bedroom. And the reason it's so important is I think that, you know, some of these other factors, you know, whether it's certain comments or things that, you know, these men say and do, it could be a red flag. They might not be, you know, gay. But in terms of in the bedroom, it is really hard to hide one's true sexuality. And so for me, that was a huge clincher. If I'm with a guy, and especially in the beginning, and just the way men are, I'm not saying that, you know, men have to be, you know, sex crazy, you know, nympho like men, but they definitely want to have sex. And so if he's the one that's kind of turning you down most of the time and, you know, saying, oh, this is, you know, over time, you're not going to have sex as much. I definitely think that that's an excuse. And I think it's kind of what a lot of these men are using to kind of put it on the women. And women then kind of feel insecure, think, you know what, I'm not going to initiate. And if he's not initiating, then we're not going to, you know, have sex. But yes, I think sex is a huge part of a relationship and definitely shouldn't dwindle in the first, you know, year or years of marriage, and especially not from on the guy's end. And I'm not trying to sound, you know, sexist, you know, in any way, but men are very sexual. And there's, and I mean, there's
so
many. That's
what I say. They're not getting it from you. They're getting it somewhere else.
Right.
And they don't want sex with a woman.
Yeah.
When you're offering it and standing naked in front of them and you look beautiful, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what I tell women. It's not you. It's them, right?
Yeah. And I caveat that a lot. Like, even in the chapter of my book, you know, I want to make it clear, you know, there are definitely reasons that, you know, a guy might not be be interested in sex on a particular night if he's exhausted or stressed or, you know, or even, you know, if there's a sexual dysfunction or if there's an issue in the relationship. But I'm talking about the majority of the time. If he doesn't want to have sex, there's definitely something going on. So it should be questioned.
What women come to me and tell me, you know, all these men who say they have erectile dysfunction, you know, as the years go on, and that's why they can't perform, and yet they have Viagra or Cialis in their drawer. And, and then when the wives find it, and they say, well, how come the bottle's half empty and nothing's happened? You know, they're using it, but not for the women. They're using it with their male encounters. You know, that should be your first big hint, that if you find any of these things. And I still say if you have erectile dysfunction, guess what? Then go for therapy and try to get help. Because you can have low testosterone. You know, there's different things you can do to try to change that. But it's not about the sexual act to me. A lot of times it's about the intimacy that goes along with the sex. Because I still say some men tell me, gay men when I'm counseling them, that they do have sex with their wives. But, number one, they do it because they're fantasizing about a man while they're doing it. And they do it because they feel they have to do it because it's part of being married, even though they hate it. Or, for instance, what throws some women off, I don't know if you're aware of this, that some gay men prefer watching straight porno. Are you aware of that? And I didn't understand that at first. And I said, well, how's that possible? Well, because, and I've had three men now who told me this, that they fantasize that they are the woman and the man is having sex with them when they watch them. So you can't let anything that seems normal when something's off throw you off. That's the point I'm trying to make. If something just doesn't seem right, once again, my ex-husband had headaches, toothaches, and backaches, stress aches, depression aches, you name it, overwhelmed with business, underwhelmed with the money, you know, you name it. But a lot of people go through these pressures, but one way that men relieve themselves is by having sex. It's not by running away from it, right?
Definitely. You know, I think that's really important. I think if at any, it really comes down to going with your gut, and if something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. And I think that's, you know, a lot of times we kind of ignore it or we make up excuses in our mind because we don't want to face the truth. You know, in terms of, you know, just sexually, I mean, there's been a number of, you know, things that I talk about, kind of strange sexual dysfunctions and men kind of shying away from having sex or being an issue or, you know, anytime there's anything like that, you know, it would not make me feel good. You know, who wants to kind of, you're with some guy and he's not, doesn't want to be intimate in that way, you know, especially in the beginning, you know, you kind of are confused. And, you know, you don't want to be feeling like you're the one that's, you know, putting on the pressure. It, you know, it should be a normal part of, you know, a relationship. And I just want to reflect back on what you said in terms of, you know, men that there are definitely men who are going to have sex with the women that they are with, whether they're in relationships or married. Because they are going to need to get their sexual needs met. And, you know, in my book, I do talk about, you know, I had the privilege of interviewing, you know, a few gay men who are now out, and they did, one of them did talk about how, a few of them talked about when they were in relationships with women, they would either come up with a number of different excuses, or if they did have sex with them, they would picture other men, or kind of just be thinking about their laundry list of things they need to do the next day, which is such a horrible thing to kind of just envision in our mind that, you know, as a woman, you know, you're trying to be intimate with the person you love or, you know, are in love with, and they're, you know, not even picturing you. They're struggling kind of with their own inner turmoil.
Yes, but I don't really necessarily think they're struggling. I just think they're not. I tell women they're in denial, not to themselves, to
mm-hmm.
you. They'll never think mm-hmm. they're in denial to themselves because they know what they want and they know what they're doing outside that
mm-hmm.
marriage. But one of the things you said in your book here, which I thought was so profound, and as I mentioned earlier, that Tara has quizzes and tips in here. But here's one G tip she gives, and I think that all of us can learn from this. If you don't seem to feel the chemical magnetism from the guy you're dating, psychological mistake, and your instinct is, my eyes are bad, I don't know, and your instinct is telling you that something doesn't feel right, your gaydar may be onto something. Remember, you have a right to feel attractive, feminine, and sexy with the man you are dating. So if that's not what you're feeling, then your gut might be telling you to get your needs met somewhere else, to get your needs elsewhere. But this is such a key factor. I know it sounds so simple, but it's so difficult because women are internalizing the blame for the lack of sexual attention they're getting from these men. And I've had
mm-hmm.
women through the years who have spent thousands of dollars on therapy, marriage counseling with their lying husbands who aren't telling the whole truth, so it's really a waste of time. Getting
mm-hmm.
breast implants, getting, liposuction, gastric bypasses, life-changing things because, like, their husbands will tell them, well, if you were thinner, I'd maybe be more attracted to you, and they weigh, like, 120 pounds. Or if you had mm-hmm. bigger breasts, you didn't look so flat like a boy, so they get the breast implants and they're still not interested because they're gay.
Yeah.
They can have liposuction, gastric bypasses, no matter what you do, change your hair color, then they'll find something else wrong with you. Like they'll say, well, your body smells. And there's nothing more dehumanizing to a woman who's thinking now her husband doesn't want to touch her because she smells. And then I have women who scrub themselves and wash themselves to try to get rid of their feminine smell that a straight man would run after, but a gay man's running away from. So it's very sad to me that this is, to me, the greatest crime with gay men. I know they may be struggling with being honest with themselves or with you, but you know what? Even in this day and age, I'll tell you the same thing I tell them. Make a decision. If you don't want to get married, if you're gay or you're thinking that, you might be gay, stay away from getting married. Don't bring an innocent woman into this who will love you and try to take care of you, and then you're going to pick her apart piece by piece until you make her into somebody that she doesn't even recognize who she is anymore, trying to please you, who can never be pleased because she's a woman and you're a gay man.
Right.
And that's what, I tell men, but I think that's your reality when you put in a statement like that in your book, that you're so on target. I mean, like, some of your quizzes in here are really excellent. Like, have you ever been the victim of a disappearing act by a man who you really were interested in dating? And, of course, in the course of your dating history. Can you tell us a little about that, the disappearing act?
Yeah, so, I call him the extremist. And what I mean by that is, there's these men who, and I've dated a number of them, and so have many of my friends, that you'll meet him and he, is so drawn to you and you're having, the beginning is, going so well and you feel this connection and he's telling you all these things, how wonderful you are, and he's talking about future plans and he's making plans with you, and this might go on for a month, 2 months. And then all of a sudden, he disappears. So, and it might be he just doesn't call anymore, or he might kind of come up with some excuse like, listen, I'm just, not looking for something right now. And I call this the case of the classic extremist. Now, there are a number of people who might say that this could also be someone who's a commitment phobe, because, people say, there's a lot of men with commitment issues, and yes, that's definitely the case, but I think there's also, another reality, and that's that, there are these men who are kind of trying to put them, you know, make themselves be with a woman, and so they're convincing this woman and, you know, themselves, you know, I want to be with you. And then the reality of it hits in their mind, and they're like, oh, I don't really want to do this. And so they kind of get freaked out and, you know, either end it really quickly or, you know, you just never hear from them again because they don't want to deal. And so this disappearing act happens again and again. So I ask, you know, women to really just kind of think about things. If this does happen, were there other things that were going on? Were there other factors that you can kind of think back on? Not to blame and say, oh, you know, he disappeared and he's gay. But just were there things that kind of stuck out? You know, things he said, certain comments that sounded a little off. Were there issues in the bedroom? So where maybe it's not a commitment issue, it's the fact that he's, you know, still in the closet.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? Do you often question or find it strange when a guy comes on really strong in the beginning, professing love, talking about future plans, but you still jump right into the relationship anyway because it feels good? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think that as women, we, it's like I said, it's hard out there. And so I think we get excited, even though we've learned from some of our, you know, past dating, you know, mistakes and, you know, maybe we shouldn't rush into things. When a guy is coming on very strong and is saying all these things and wants to, you know, make plans and future and is complimenting you, you know, you kind of want to jump right in. You get excited. And so your kind of thinking goes right out the window. And so even though you might think, you know, maybe I should kind of take things slow, your heart kind of gets the better of you. And I think that one thing that I really want to stress is that, you know, we can't control what these men are going to do. You know, there's going to continue to be men that are in the closet and are going to date women. All we can do is be true to ourselves, and that's the only control that we can have. You know, I mean, I think I talk about this even beyond the whole homosexuality issue. I think as women, we really need to kind of figure out who we are and
mm-hmm.
who the right person is for us. So, you know, Mr. Right goes beyond kind of, you know, yes, they need to be straight, but I think sometimes we ignore some of these signs. So whether it's a sign that he's homosexual or a sign that he's just not the right guy for us, or he, you know, doesn't fit our needs, or divorce is so high, you know, today it's 50%. And the big reason is that we don't kind of really think about what's best for us. And a lot of us just jump into relationships because we want to be in a relationship and we often settle. So it's a long-winded answer, but going back
no,
to...
No, I think it's an excellent answer because, you know, women make poor choices based mm-hmm. on their needs. And when mm-hmm. a lot of times these guys are charming, they're narcissistic, but they are charming, and they bring you into mm-hmm. them, and, you know, they overwhelm you with their love and kindness for you. Which brings
mm-hmm.
me to my next question, is because I'm so happy you addressed this in your book, because a lot of people look at me and they give me a dirty look. But my definition of gay is, like, very simple. The penis is the, you know, dividing line. Once you cross over it, you're on the gay side. And I don't care really what you call yourself, but a lot of times people are calling themselves all kinds of names to avoid what the reality is. And I know that I've heard asexual, bisexual, confused sexual. There's pansexual. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but pansexual
no,
is now.
What's that? That's
yeah, pansexual. And that's when you're not limited in your sexual choices in regards to biological sex, gender, or gender identity. That's pansexual.
Okay.
And then my favorite that people use that you wrote about, metrosexual.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I say that anything before the word sexual is anything other than hetero, watch out. So you write about metrosexual in here. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you're in New York where people are very, you know, the upper echelon there, where they try to dress and they have male have their nails done and they get all, you know, they call themselves metrosexual. Talk, and you talk about that in your book. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I mean, metrosexual is a very common term nowadays. I think it actually came about back in 2002. And it's become quite a common term, and a lot of men kind of will use this and say, oh, I'm metrosexual and, you know, dress femininely and, you know, kind of do certain habits that are, you know, more feminine. And I think, you know, in today's society, things have changed a lot in terms of what the stereotypical, you know, man is and woman is. And, you know, women are kind of now, you know, things have changed in terms of career, and women are kind of, you know, in high power positions and along with men. And so there's definitely been a lot of confusion. But I think what I talk about is, I think that a lot of men who are closeted use this term, metrosexual, as almost like a disguise. So, you know, they can kind of dress a certain way and spend hours primping and say, oh, I'm metrosexual. And it's kind of a term that everyone kind of goes by. And, in fact, a lot of women are attracted to men who are metrosexual. Now, I want to make clear that there is nothing wrong with men taking good care of themselves. That is really important. I mean, I know for me, I don't want a guy who, like, doesn't, you know, shower and, you know, doesn't look nice and dress up. What I'm talking about is goes beyond that, where, you know, men will get manicures, pedicures, will take 2-3 hours to get ready, go shopping for hours. That's a little bit excessive. And so I would definitely, you know, I'm not saying that they are gay, but it's something to kind of step back and look at when you're dating someone that's that extreme in terms of his appearance.
I agree. And I think a lot of people are just covering up what the reality is, because
mm-hmm.
there is a social stigma with it. I don't care where you live, New York, L.A., where people still feel that there is some prejudice when it comes to gay. And especially
mm-hmm.
if they come from certain cultures. You know, it's really sad for me because a lot of these men I work with feel so stuck because of the cultural norms, and their family will disown them. And, you know, in every community, you know, there are problems with leaving, so they feel forced to stay. And I always say that this is so unfair to do to your wife. If you claim you love her, you have to tell her the truth. You know, you have
mm-hmm.
to be honest and not make her think that she's doing everything wrong, because that's how women start to feel. Did you feel like that in any of these relationships, that it was your fault?
You know, I think in the beginning when I was still kind of trying to process all of this, you know, and come to terms with what this really meant, yeah, I kind of said, why am I, you know, what is going on? Why am I meeting so many men? Is it me that, you know, that are still struggling with their sexuality? You know, am I this magnet? Am I choosing these men? And I think even before that, when I was even kind of actually identifying that these men were closeted, I was blaming myself when strange things would happen, when they wouldn't call me back, or they would disappear, or they would say or, you know, do something, and I knew that it went beyond just the, you know, the classic, you know, if a guy isn't, you know, obviously there's going to still be dating issues, you know, there's going to be a guy who's not into you, there's going to be, you know, there's not that chemistry, or, you know, it's just not right. But when these things were happening again and again, and it felt
mm-hmm.
it felt like it was personal to me. It felt like, you know, I'm doing something wrong, and I would blame myself. And so I think that was the biggest thing that I came to terms with, and was, you know, was a blessing that I said, you know what, this doesn't have to do with me. And if that's one thing that I can bring to women out there that are encountering this, that are not even realizing that they're encountering this and thinking, God, is there something wrong with me? Why am I having so many dating issues? And that there's another piece of the puzzle that they might not be realizing and that they don't have to continue to blame themselves and that there is something else going on here.
I think that it's just amazing that you were able to have this perception of understanding really what's going on when so many other women really seem to keep missing the point. When you talk to friends who you can see going in that direction, do they listen to you?
Some yes and some no. You know, there are definitely some who, you know, would say, oh, you think everybody is gay and, like, you know, you label everyone like this. And then there are other friends who have kind of gotten on the bandwagon and are, I think, just after listening to things that I've said and after reading my book, you know, kind of are, you know, getting it a little more and saying, you know what, I actually think he may be gay. The thing is that for me personally, I don't want this to be the case. In fact, when I go out on dates with men, I don't want the reason that it's not working out to be because they're gay. I want it to be, like, not that I don't want it to work out, but I want it to just be, like, normal, you know, dating and just it didn't work out. We didn't have chemistry or, you know, we just didn't have a lot of it in common. The fact that this keeps coming up, I think it's hard for me and I think for a lot of women because there's nothing that we can do about it. And I'm not saying we can do something when you don't meet the right person, but I just think that this wasn't something that I thought would be one of the issues I was having, you know, when I was going out and dating. I thought, okay, I just need to find, you know, a guy that's smart and who we have common interests and, you know, I'm attracted to. And the fact that this is one other factor that I have to worry about, that other women have to worry about, just complicates dating so much more than it already is.
It does. And sometimes gay is not even the worst factor. I mean, there are so many predators out there who are narcissistic, abusive, controlling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a book out called Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men. Between your book and my book, I think it's better that you just stay celibate for the rest of your life because there's like not one guy out there who's really... I mean, I said one out of every three guys is a possibility, and now I'm counting in all the gay men that you're finding. I think it's like a zero chance, just about.
No, I mean, I still, you know, with everything said and done and all of them I'm dating, you know, even over the past, you know, 10-plus years, you know,
mm-hmm.
I do try to have that faith, even though it's tough. And my close friend keeps, you know, reminding me that I do have to have that faith. And, you know, I do mention in my book that I did date two, you
mm-hmm.
know, I did have two significant relationships with men that were straight. They didn't work out, ultimately.
But they were
you
know, different
close.
Than the other ones, right?
But they weren't right, but they were straight. They were straight, yeah.
Do you mind telling women who are listening to this show or who will be listening in the upcoming week or month,
mm-hmm.
what was the real difference that you could find with the straight men versus the gay men?
That's a good question. There are definitely a number of factors. I mean, I think deep down it really came out, it was my gut. It was, God, they were both, you know, the two men that I was, that I had these significant relationships with were very different. But you know what? I wasn't questioning. I just knew it. I wasn't saying, oh, they did this, or they said this. Is he gay? Like, there wasn't that question. I just knew. It was a feeling that I had, you know, when I was with them, how they treated me, how they interacted with me. Things that, you know, because I do talk about, you know, comments that, you know, some of these men make where, you know, they kind of make these little, it almost feels a little feminine in a way, you know, oh, you look marvelous, or your eyeshadow is sparkly, or, you know, things like that, which is a little tough to hear. And obviously, we, as women, we love compliments, you know, and I'm not saying that men, you know, shouldn't give them to us, but there was that difference. It was like, you know, you look great tonight. He's not complimenting me on my shoes or my dress or my accessories, you know. And then, you know, in the bedroom, sexually, there was never a question. It was just, there was, it was just what it should be, you know? It was, you're in a relationship, you're having sex, there's not, oh, this thing happened, or he didn't want to, you know, have sex, or that problem, and it just felt, you know, like it should be with a man and a woman, you know? I felt like, you know, how I should feel in a relationship. So it just wasn't, you know, right ultimately.
But
I felt wanted. Yeah, I think as women, we want to feel sexually desired and feminine and attractive. And I felt that. I felt like I was a woman. He was a man. And that there was that energy, that kind of underlying, you know, feeling that you can't even, you know, describe. This nonverbal kind of just chemistry, I just call it, you know, that we all have between, you know, between a man and a woman. So, yeah, it just didn't work out in the end because they weren't Mr. Right, but they were definitely Mr. Straight. So I'm looking for the combination of Mr. Right and Mr. Straight, and I know he's out there, and I know, you know, he's out there for a lot of women. So,
I always tell women that, you know, you can practice along the way, but keep searching for your soulmate. Because he's out there looking for you, and you may get sidetracked, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that you won't find him if you keep looking. You can't give up. I mean, I was very lucky. I found my soulmate almost 22 years ago, that we've been almost together 22 years. And
he's the
person who I can wake up and smile, you know, in the morning about. And also when I go to bed at night, I'm thinking about him, you know, and even though we're old people next to you, you know, we still have intimacy, we still have the sexual connection all the time, and we're a lot older than you, so that should be really helpful.
But I'm sure
you
now know the difference, though, because you were with someone that was, you know, closeted and now not so kind of knowing.
I was with everybody. I mean, don't forget, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I was with plenty of crazy men of all kinds. And probably, my ex-husband always say he wasn't the best, but he wasn't the worst. So probably the worst ones were all gay, too. But, you know, that's how life was back in the 60s. You know, it was an age of promiscuity, and we didn't really understand sex at all. You know, we didn't understand the relationship that builds between a man and a woman. And, like, my boyfriend still says to me that this is the way he can express his love to me, that it's something he loves to do. Always touching me, always feeling me, you know, and it's a matter that he loves me and this is how he can express it. And that's the feeling that every woman should have, you know, and I bring that up because I like women to know that it's not an age factor. I'm old, he's older than me, and that is still not an issue for us at all. And even when you have a relationship, you can still go through bad times, as you were saying, where you have some kind of physical problem. You know, he went through a problem, you know, with cancer, and for a time we weren't sure what would happen, you know, physically. But, you know, we had enough love between us and intimacy over the years that when we had to stop for a while, you know, we had built up that intimacy that it carried us through. But if you don't have
and
that
it,
to start with, you know, and it's never developed and it never will develop, then, you know, what's the point?
Right. And it wasn't because, you know, you had that issue, but it wasn't because he didn't want to be intimate. I think that's the biggest thing. You had something you were going through, but you weren't sexual at that point because it wasn't due to the fact that he wasn't interested. There was an actual something going on. So it's that want,
it was
that desire.
Thing that came. And sometimes, you know, I understand in some cases it really can't be solved, but if you've had it all along and you filled it up, then it's something that at least you can look back on and still have the intimacy and the holding and the touching, even if it's not always the sexual kind. But when you don't have anything to start with, and unfortunately these men know how to find women who are innocent and who haven't had a lot of sexual experience, that's who they kind of aim for. So you really don't have much to compare it to. And it's easy for them to convince you that there's something wrong with you rather than to take responsibility that they're the problem in the relationship. There's so much more in your book that unfortunately we didn't get to tonight, Tara, but if I could impose on you maybe to come back in a month or two so we could go through more of this.
Sure.
Get more
that
people
would be
reading
great.
It. I'd love to have you come back, you know, during the holiday time. Because this
is
a really great holiday book for people to buy. If you've been through this and all the things that you've learned, then you really want to alert other women who are in your family. It could be your daughters. It could be even your granddaughters if you're older like me, or just friends who, you know, there's some questionable dating habits they're having. This book is called Looking for Mr. Straight, A Guide to Identifying the Closeted Gay Men You May Be Dating. And for our women who'll be getting my newsletter this week, and you'll be reading a little write-up on the book and a link to how to get it. I know that, you know, it's on Amazon. Is most of the book dealers are just...
Yeah, so it's available on, you know, both print and ebook on Amazon.com. You can just look up Looking for Mr. Straight, as well as BarnesandNoble.com. You can also check out my website, lookingformrstraight.com, to just, you know, learn a little bit more about the book and about me. So.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to post your website up tonight on our special, you know, private room that we have. But
so
women can get you. So it's lookingformrstraight.com, the website.
Yep. And then there's links on there, you know, to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'm everywhere.
You're a social media person, right? How's
getting
the response
there.
Into your book?
You know, it's getting there. It's hard. You know, it's hard to really just get the word out there. And so, you know, it really comes down to word of mouth. And I think just kind of learning more about it and, you know, having people read it and, you know, sharing with others, you know, I think my ultimate goal is to help women. If I can even help, you know, one, two women, obviously more is even better. But that's really why, you know, I wrote this book, that I wanted to share, you know, my insights and my knowledge and, you know, my experience and hopefully, you know, pass the word on. So I'm hoping that this continues.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of criticism because that's how people are, but you can totally ignore it. I'm telling you, the book is wonderful, and the people who are in my network are going to love it. And that's who your audience is. You don't have to worry about people who are saying, don't be ridiculous or you're a doomsayer. This is such an informative book, and I just looked up your beautiful website as I'm talking to you, lookingformrstraight.com. And,
yeah,
you know, there you can read about the book.
Yeah,
I
do want to just say one thing. You know, there are going to be people that, you know, may not agree. That's fine. It's really more about awareness and, you know, it's my opinion, my experience, and, you know, there's always going to be people, no matter what, who are going to agree or disagree. But thank you for, you know, letting me talk about the book and, you know, about this issue in general, just about getting the word out. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Tara, I'm a real fan, and I think that
Thanks.
You pretty much can coincide with my philosophy of how to find the right man. Assume every man is gay until they prove themselves straight. That's what I tell my women.
And
you have to start at an assumption point. Assume they're gay, and they have to prove themselves that they're straight, and then you can have a conversation about it. But I think
right.
your book is beautifully written. It's full of wonderful information. You know, I really hope people will buy this. I know I'm going to buy a couple copies for friends that I have who can really need to read this book. And I'm looking so much forward to you coming back to the show in a couple months, right around the holiday time. We'll set up a date. You're a wonderful guest, and thank you so much for, you know, being on the show and agreeing to come back.
Great.
So
thank you, Bonnie.
To all of our listeners, you can look forward to hearing Tara again in a couple weeks or, you know, sometime in between November and December. And it's a great book, again, Looking for Mr. Straight, and you can find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So to you, Tara, good night, and have a wonderful week. And to all of our listeners, also have a wonderful week, and we'll be back here again next week. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.